views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
You are listening to People Like Us Radio with Megan Lyons, transcending the trauma of the human experience. In this hit show, Megan will show you how to find true healing and inner peace through the art and practice of self-love. Megan works to uncover the deeper psychological proclivity that fuels toxic behavioral patterns, and she'll help you integrate creative processes and holistic healing so you can effectively process and transmute trauma. Now, here's your host, Megan Lyons.
Hi, this is Megan Lyons, and I have my mom again on today, Ginny Lyons. Say hello.
Hi, everyone. Happiness.
And today we want to talk about a topic that I think is really appropriate for the upcoming holiday season. And it's simple, and I think everybody can relate to it. And it's the topic of random acts of kindness, something that every single human being can participate in that will make not only themselves feel better, but any person that they may encounter in a given day, not only in their job, but just anytime you leave the house and you smile at somebody or give them a compliment, you can sort of participate in this phenomenon. And a little goes a long way. And I know that that's one of the themes on the network of the butterfly effect, is that that's how we can manifest change on a global scale, is through participation of each individual person doing their role. What do you think about that?
Oh, I totally agree. I like the concept of the butterfly effect, the metamorphosis from a little crow to a magnificent butterfly, kind of like the human being evolves from a tiny little seed that turns into this magnificent human being as time goes on. I think because we are going to talk about random acts of kindness, I would like to quote Leo Tolstoy, whom I'm sure some of you may recognize as quite a prolific writer, War and Peace being his major work. But he quotes that kindness can be real only if people look upon their lives as a service to others and have a definite object of their life in mind, outside of themselves, although they need to have a good feeling about themselves to attain their own personal happiness first. So I think breaking down what he's saying is, in order for us to shed kindness and happiness and joy onto others, we have to feel it within ourselves first, just like everything, the self being the most important person in our life. Because if we really even look at biblical connotations of this, is that we are divine children of our almighty creator. And whether that be God or Abraham or the Western Wall, it all defines us as having a specialness, a spirit within us, and a holiness about us, because we were made in the image and likeness of our creator. How do you feel about that, Megan?
You have to feel good, I think, about yourself to a certain extent to really show demonstrate or give any authentic kindness. I mean, I think that there's a lot of maybe feigned benevolence that goes on, transactionally in the world, just like I said, in the business world. But you can always tell, I think, when somebody's being inauthentic or just kind of putting on a front or reading from a script, versus when you interact with somebody and you do feel that genuine, authentic kindness, that somebody didn't have to say a certain compliment because they're not doing business with you and they're not trying to necessarily gain something from the interaction, but, you know, you're just running into a random person. Like, for example, I went to, a play last night for a children's chorus, and, you know, somebody came up to me and just really commented on, they really liked my outfit and really took the time to mention the various aspects of my outfit that they liked, which was just nice. I mean, there was no agenda there. It was just somebody that took a minute to give a compliment. So, and, you know, you
can tell an act of kindness.
Right. And I mean, that's just one example. That's one small, trite example, but that could make somebody's day, because especially when we're walking around in a world in which sometimes we don't feel like people have that capacity anymore, and it's all about what people can gain from others. So little things like that can actually go a long way.
Well, I think I recall telling you the story of when I was staying at the hotel and I was at the pool when I was in Sarasota for graduation of one of my grandchildren. And I ran into a woman who I had seen at the pool, but now who was all dressed up and was apparently leaving the hotel. And I said to her, "Oh, you look beautiful. Your hair, your outfit." She stopped and she stood there and she had tears in her eyes. And she said, and I remember telling you this, that is the first compliment I think I've got in years. I see myself as pretty. I don't see myself as attractive. I don't see myself as coordinated. And I always think my hair should be up, or it should be put in a braid or a bun, or I'm too old to be wearing it this way. She said, you just made my day. And that's what little random acts of kindness are. I mean, I brought the woman to tears just by complimenting her. And I could truly tell she was kind of a lonely soul. She was all by herself for 3 days at this hotel. And she needed to hear something positive about herself. I don't know any more about her life. We walked out of each other's life. But she said to me, "Thank you. You made my day." So something as small as that can just go such a long way. And what did it take of me? 2 seconds of my time to tell us to look great.
Right.
The same thing when I see like an older woman in the supermarket, and it's obviously she's had her hair done like grandma did, with the, you know, real tight little curls and the half up can of hairspray. But, you know, she went out of her way that day to get herself straightened up, cleaned up or whatever, to go and get her hair done. And I see this all the time. And just say to the woman, "Your hair looks great. You just had it done, right?" And they beam. And it starts a conversation. And it's just, don't we all love a compliment? Let's be real. Don't we all like to hear something positive?
I love a compliment so long as I don't think it's being done to just flatter me.
Yeah.
Or just, you know,
oh, no, I think as you alluded to in your opening, remarks, you can tell when somebody is genuine. You can tell when a compliment is being given for a reason or is just disingenuous. It has a ring about it. And as we, you know, all know, we have that sixth sense or that ability to discern who is really genuine, who's honest, and who's really paying a compliment, or is it somebody just trying to do something to gain a favor, or as you alluded to earlier, to gain some sort of effect from us to do maybe a favor for them in the future or whatever, somebody we may know.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it can go both ways. But I think when it's a spontaneous compliment, it even means more, because somebody just sees you and they're almost like, You know, I hate to use the word overcome, but they're so impressed that they make a compliment to you. Like last night, that woman that made the compliment to you, a person, was so impressed with how together you look, from your outfit to maybe the jewelry you were wearing or the way you had your hair fixed, that it came upon her to say something. "Gee, you look great. Gee, that's a great dress." And it made you feel great. So, it's all the way we begin our day. As I often say to people when I gave little talks, was to get up in the morning and say, "Good morning, God," or "Good God, it's morning." There is such a difference. You begin your day on a positive note, or, "Oh my God, it's morning, and I really don't want to get up. I don't want to face the day. I don't want to do the chores I have to do." That's not beginning your day with a positive effect or any kind of happiness or kindness or joy. So kind of your day goes by the way you get up, I feel. Did you ever have a chance, Megan, to see the YouTube feature of an admiral, I believe his name is McGovern, who talked about the importance of making your bed first thing in the morning?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've told me the story a million times, but yes.
Oh, I think it's great because what I didn't know is he's given many, many talks at different places like West Point and the Naval Academy. But the whole premise of his little, it's less than 5 minutes on YouTube, is that if you make your bed, you've already started your day with a positive act.
And see, in response to that, I mean, I think that just depends on, that would make sense for somebody that's very military minded, that's kind of, you know, success or, you know, is almost measured by doing things. And I get that in organization, fundamental organization.
Right.
You get that. However, for me, I think a small shift that I've done, but it's really kind of major, I think, is just being mindful of the information that I immediately subject myself to when I first get up or when I go to bed at night. Like, I always used to, first thing in the morning, grab my phone and check my text messages, emails, and then whatever social media. Well, I've actually deleted the social media from the phone. I don't have the Facebook Messenger or the Facebook app and my emails. Mm-hmm. I do look at them or text messages, but I try to either read something positive or turn on a YouTube, and then I always fall asleep to, you know, something that I want to seep into the subconscious, you know, while I'm falling asleep. I think that's like very important. And I know that there's been a lot of studies done on that the information that we put into our subconscious or that we're actively watching when we fall asleep can affect our dream state or can, you know, truly be affecting us from a sensory processing standpoint, even if we're consciously engaging with it or not. So that's just, for me, one thing I've done different. You know, I'm just mindful of what I'm interacting with right away. You know, because if I grab the phone and I see an angry email or something that's going to really induce stress, well, that's really not going to get my day started on the right foot, you know?
Exactly. Well, I think the premise he was trying to make in this, you know, the importance of making your bed isn't really making your bed. It's the importance of, it's a positive act, and it is more than even a positive act. It's a sense of accomplishment for you. Okay, I started my day by completing a task, and I like that feeling because once you complete one task, you can then go on and complete many others. You started your day on the right foot. And, of course, he goes on, yes, about the military and how important it is. But he tries to equate it also to, as he goes on in further speeches, is that the things we do over and over and over again, although they seem benign, can be very important in establishing not perfectionism, but a very positive routine. It's like I get up and I say a prayer. Or a positive, oh, today's a good day. The sun is out. Oh, it's going to be a good day. I have a note from the night before of the things that are really important that I have to or want to accomplish. They don't always get done, but at least it starts me on a good note. I straighten things up, make things more comfortable for my surroundings, which is important to me. And I always feel like an organized home or an organized place where your surroundings are makes you have more of an organized mind. But you have to go back. I was brought up and taught by a religious sect of nuns.
Take a quick break and we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that
Thank
after
you.
The break, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Do you believe you are meant to live with more joy, but you're just not sure how to get it? What does the phrase, give me the joy, make you feel? Join me, Lynn Horde, every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, on the Give Me the Joy Show, as I take you on a journey to peel back the layers so you can take back your joy. To find out more about my work as the Joy Coach, including my popular programs, Joy School and Joy at Work, visit lynnhorde.com.
Take your own journey with the angels with Claire Candy Huff's heaven-sent guided angel meditation CD. Letting go of concerns and living in the now. This beautiful CD walks listeners through practical exercises to help free them from the burdens, worries, and concerns of daily life.
Walking a quarter of the way across the bridge, you see a bright emerald green light and sense a loving presence. This is Archangel Raphael's green healing energies, nourishing and revitalizing you. Take a moment now to bathe in this green healing light.
Giving you much more than just relaxation and stress release, this wonderfully narrated CD provides vivid visualization, soothing and inspiring music, and an angel's choir that will bring you peace, clarity, and a newfound awareness. Visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
Okay, we're back. So let's just wrap up that tangent that we kind of went off on a little bit as far as the morning routine. If you want to finish up what you were saying in regards to that.
Right. I think what I was saying is I was raised by a sect of religious nuns. I went to a Catholic academy for girls, and we were taught that cleanliness is godliness and orderliness and organization and prioritizing, which were all good and positive. But I think it can take you to the extreme. So you have to be careful that you don't become obsessive and compulsive, which I did become a little bit. I wanted everything to
look like
a career-wise scripture. And, you know, if I had the pillows all fluffed up on the couch and Megan or her sister sat on them, I'd be like, oh, my pillows are a mess. Ruined my whole image, you know, and it became crazy. And I recognized it.
It can get pathological, yes.
Right. And fortunately, I did work for a psychiatrist, he's a registered nurse, and he said to me, certain things you have to let go of certain things, and that meant a great deal to me. And I was able to let go, as I'm going to let go of it right now. I wanted to really mention, I was mentioning to Megan on the break, that today in Tampa, Channel 8 is called Kindness Day, and it is, we're talking about random acts of kindness, and what it involves is a collection of toys and gifts and money and gift cards, and in thankfulness for that, they also have a health mobile there that is doing blood pressures and weights and all kinds of testing that is random that may be helpful to somebody that has no insurance or the unavailability of medical treatment right now or medical examinations. And nurses are available and will, you know, just answer basic questions and listen to your lungs and heart and so forth. So I think it's wonderful. So it's like one hand washes the other. You do something kind for us, and we in turn will try to do something for you. And basically, it can be such a better life if things like that fall into place. I was talking to a woman this morning, and I said what a wonderful feeling I had all day Wednesday after watching the funeral of George Bush. And I saw all those wonderful dignitaries and people. And I thought to myself, from President Clinton to President Carter to President Trump to President Bush 43, what a marvelous opportunity this is to hear about a man who excelled in civility, integrity, compassion, kindness, honesty, nobility, respectability. I could go on and on and on. But I didn't have to, because people that did his biography, like John Meacham, did a beautiful job. His friends, senators, got up and spoke of him. And, you know, he had everything. He had a great sense of humor. Yes, he had a temper. He was human. I'm sure he had a lot of faults. But the main thing was his ability to be happy and to live a good, clean life, a life of dedication to family, friends, and the importance of family and friends meant so much to him. The loyalty and admiration he put on both. And that's what made him a kind and gentle person. And that was our headlines in the paper. We had a day of kindness and a day of gentleness in a time of tumultuousness and a time of bantering and fighting. And do you agree with that, Megan? Did you happen to catch any of the funeral or see any of the remarks in the paper or on Facebook or YouTube or wherever about the statement?
I'm trying to focus more on just like real life examples from people that maybe aren't famous or, you know, presidents.
Well, no, I think he's a great example because, well, I think he's a great example because what I'm trying to say is I hope he was a great example to the people that were there, that need maybe to hear that being kind and gentle and having integrity are
important. I mean, I agree, but you can't really put him in a category of random acts of anything, because when you're the president and you're an icon, no, there's nothing random about you, or you're just,
right.
You know, so
I just think
I'm talking about last week when I ran out of gas and a perfect stranger after 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
I was there for 3 hours in a busy intersection, and I ran out of gas, and my debit card was not working, and my phone died. So it was a perfect storm, and so I couldn't call, you know, Toyota Care to come. But this gentleman, he finally came up to me, and I even went into stores. I mean, you wouldn't believe this. I went into stores and to try to get help. And people would not let me use their phone. I'm not really talking about kindness here, but I'm just giving you the background. Nobody would really help me for about 3 hours. Finally, this man came up to me. And also, I was in a precarious situation, being in the almost in the middle of the world. I was trying to explain that to people, that I said, this isn't really about me. I'll be fine. But my car could get hit. Somebody could get into an accident. And that would be really bad, you know, so.
And other people could be hurt.
Right. I was trying to impress that, but nobody would even like really talk to me or listen to me. They were suing me off the premises and saying, you know, we can't help you. We can't help you. So like literally finally after hours, I just sat there in my car for a while, and this man came over to me, and not only did he call, you know, Toyota with me, but he stayed there the entire time and waited with me, because he's like, well, I've got a wife that's about your age, and, you know, she would be freaked out, too, and he just moved to Florida, and I tried to give him money, he wouldn't take my money, you know, it was just so sweet, and I say, well, if there's anything I can ever do, please let me, like, as far as legal services, if you need any help with anything, but he wouldn't take my money. He's like, he bought me a bottle, and he's like, I just want to do this. I'm going to just do this because I'm going to do this. Now, that's a random act of kindness.
That's a random act of kindness. I had a similar situation one time when I ran out of gas coming out of a school. And it was 3:30 on a Friday. And everybody, even the teachers that I had been with that day, I had done a health program for them. And then they asked me to stay because their registered nurse, who was on duty, became ill. And they knew me from the neighborhood, and they knew that I had been involved with some of the schools. I go out to my car. As I'm pulling out of the driveway, it runs out of gas. I get out of the car, and it's a wintry day. And just like you, I stood there, I'll bet, for an hour. Finally, a guy came along in a truck. He came up to me and he said, "What can I do? What's the problem? Can I jump you?" I said, "I believe my car's out of gas." This man on a Friday at now 4:30, who was probably on his way home to his wife and family, went up to the gas station, brought me back, enough gas to get me back to the gas station, which was probably 5 or 10. I said to him, "May I please give you some money? You don't know how appreciative I am." He said, "No, but, you know, maybe sometime I'll be in the same situation. And if it's not you, somebody else will do a kind act for me, too." I mean, so there are good people in our world, and there is kindness. Again, those are the little random acts of kindness that we see. Or, you know, something as benign as letting somebody ahead of you in line when you're at the supermarket. You know, you've got 15 items in your cart, and they've
right.
got two.
If everybody would just get in that habit of thinking that way every day, what can I do?
Exactly. It would be a kinder and gentler world. And those are the things that I think we have to look at. But I also think that children need role models as adults do. If we see other people being kind, and, you know, the same with a lot of the schools today, they do have campaigns in their school for children being more respectful and more responsible and more thoughtful and kinder. I don't know if you happened to catch the evening news last night, but it showed a man whose daughter was thrown off the school bus. She's 10 years old for being a bully. And what he did, he said,
where in Sarasota? Or?
No, I don't even know where it was, to tell you the truth. It was on the national news, so it could have been anywhere. But a lot of people were against what he did. But he followed her in his car to school, but he made her walk. He said if she was that rude and bullying other children, that she had to pay for that. She was not allowed on the bus for 3 days. So he had her walk. He told her she had to walk 10 miles for the 3 days, which, of course, she didn't. But he had
her walk. Well, I think that's good, because she needs to feel the consequences of that.
Well, and then he put her back
bullying
in the car.
Is a whole other topic.
Well, then when they interviewed the little 10-year-old, she said, "Well, I was doing that because I've been bullied." And her father, which I thought was wonderful, said, "But that's no excuse. So if somebody poked you in the eye with a pencil, would you go back and poke them in the eye with a pencil?"
Many people subscribe to that mentality.
Exactly. But is this a learned opportunity for this child? Do you think she'll ever bully anybody again or be unkind to them? He kept saying to her, the world has to be nicer to people. We have to be kinder. But yet the people were divided. People said, well, that's cruel letting her walk that distance.
And who is she safe? I mean, I don't think it's cruel.
Well, I think when you have an action that you realize and you're not taking full responsibility for, and you know it's wrong, there has to be some consequence. I mean, maybe he could have just said, you know, no TV for a week, or no favorite games that you want to play, or no, you know, phone for a week. I don't know. Some consequence. But I think this consequence, because it related to a bus ride, she's just sitting on the bus, being taken to school. Now she's got to walk. And, you know, it wasn't real comfortable. And it did start to rain. And he did, you know, let her walk a little while, but then put her in the car. But again, I'm getting off topic here. It's just that.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasik each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
High-frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit sourcelightintegrations.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change. That you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as we reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit JenniferNoelleTaylor.com.
Joining us again on this podcast where we're talking about random acts of kindness, sort of in the spirit of the holidays and especially in a tumultuous time in human history where people are not typically talked about for their inherent kindness or benevolent personalities. Often there's a lot more focus and attention in the media and really everywhere we go on negative things that occur and the atrocities and the traumas and the tragedies and the imminent tragedies and things like that, that just sort of induce more fear and I think separate us instead of bringing us together. Because if there's one thing that we can all say that we have in common, you know, as human beings, is our various emotional states, whether we can feel like we have something in common with others based on suffering or trauma or tragedy, or if we choose to say, hey, you know, we have something in common and that we both like to be treated with a basic level of respect. I think that's something, regardless of color, socioeconomic background, age, you know, occupation, where we're from, our cultures, our traditions, I think everybody, you know, wants to be respected. So I think that could even be something that is memorable, is being respected for your beliefs, so long as they're not offensive or, you know, expressed in a way that's malicious or cruel or harmful to others. You know, just basic respect. And I find this in my family law cases a lot when dealing with parents, that really that's really what these cases are about. It's about these parents oftentimes that cannot get along, and they end up acting very, not only childish and immature and vindictive and cruel to one another, but obviously the child is now used as a manipulative pawn And really, it's not about the child and what's best or the family's best interest. Or really, it's not about what the individual parents, what's best for them. It just becomes a game of who can be more cruel to the other one. So an exercise like this, I think, would be good even for families to, you know, have to have it be a requirement. You know, there's a random act of kindness that you must express to, you know, the parent of, you know, even you're going through a divorce, but you still have to say something nice to them. I almost made a client do this exercise, and I know that he would have really hated me for it, but I was almost going to give him the, and I still might, I'm kind of toying around with it, but give him the assignment of writing a letter to the mother of his kids, telling her the things that she's good at as a mother, instead of focusing on all of the things that she's terrible at. You know, and that could be an exercise for both people to have to do. Like, you told me a week ago, you know, write me a letter with all the things you don't like. Well, I was going to, you know, switch it up and do the opposite. You know, why do we focus so, and we all do that as humans. We focus so much, and then we remember those things. And those things are very apparent in our minds.
Well, the negative things become, the negative things then become paramount. Not the good things, because we do, you know, start to focus more on the negativity and all the things that we dislike about a person or a situation
or ourselves.
Or ourselves, exactly. Instead of saying, you know, okay, I'm too heavy. I, you know, my skin isn't what I'd like it to be. I don't like the color of my hair. Maybe finding the good things about yourself. I know I'm a good person. I know I'm kind. I know I try my best. I know I always give my best effort. Again, there is a book out, and I'm sorry, I don't know the author's name, but it just came out. And it's called Shortcuts to Happiness. And the basic question that the author does ask us is to look at what makes me happy. Is it, of course, there's many things we can say. The usual things like family, my children, my home, my husband, my job, the things that I love most of all about where I live, my garden, whatever. But he said, really question yourself. What makes me happy? And there were three points he brought up. Are you true to yourself? Do you give of yourself? And how often do you give of yourself? Do you do, quote unquote, acts of kindness? Because the more you give away of yourself, meaning that the more love and kindness that you give is what defines you in the end and gives you the greater happiness. And how many times did I say this to widows? Having lost my own husband 7 years ago, I am compelled to tell widows, you can't sit in a chair like I did for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. I couldn't move. I was in a catatonic state. I couldn't even take the dead flowers off the dining room table. I didn't know where to begin. I was lost. And people kept saying to me, give of yourself, do something for somebody else. Why? And it dawned on me, all I'm thinking about is me. I'm focusing on myself. Why? And that's really not my core. Why can't I think of others?
And then so we can focus too much on the pain.
Exactly. That's all I was focusing on, the negativity, the hurt, the loss. How am I going to go on? How am I going to pay all these bills? What am I going to do? Remember, I asked you, would you three of my daughters all get together and write me a check just for security because I didn't think I would have enough money? I mean,
I do remember,
but my security was lost. And that was the only way I could identify it with. And the minute I got back to work as a nurse with patients and a patient saying to me, oh, my gosh, I learned more from you today about that disease than my doctor has ever told me, because he uses big words and I don't understand a lot of them. But you explained it. You told me it was an extra few minutes of my time. I got Howard at one time for an act of kindness. When I used to deliver medications to my patients, the health supervisor came and said, I took too long. And I said, well, I'm very sorry, but I just don't walk in a room and hand a patient a pill. I say, this is why you're taking this. This is for you to get stronger. This is to make your heart work better. This is to clear your lungs of the extra fluid. And people would always say, thank you. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that's what it was for. So you get a better reaction. You get happiness. You get contentment from your patients. At least they know what they're taking. You know what? She never said another word to me again. As she walked out of the room, she said to me, you take as long as you need me. That is wonderful. Again, that was my act of kindness. Oh, somebody might say, well, she's getting paid for it. No, because it took so much of my time that I had to work up to do my charting, and I didn't get paid for that. But it meant so much to me to see those patients get better, know what they were doing. So, again, there's so many ways you can do little acts of kindness. But getting back to his book, he said there were three major things that we must be cognizant of when we look to be kind. We must always have compassion. We must always be empathetic to other people's needs. And we must always come up with a compliment. I thought it was just so, you know, it's a book that I definitely will put on my list to read. And don't shell out an empathetic statement like, I know how you feel, unless you've gone through it. Because that's when you are being disingenuous. Or people, because she doesn't know what she's talking about. If I can say to somebody, yes, I lost my husband. I went through a horrible, horrible time. I was depressed. I was anxious. I was angry. Every stage you can go through when somebody meaningful in your life dies. I was lost. I was his caretaker. I was his wife. I was the cook, the chief bottle washer, the custodian. I mean, it got to the point when I left, he'd say, when are you going to be back? So I knew all those things. And yeah, there's a void in your life after that. But what I found and said to people is I've been there, I've done it. And what got me back on track was being kind, going out of my way for others. Because you know what? At the end of the day, it made me feel good. It helped me build up my self-esteem. It helped me build up my confidence. And that's what it's all about. It's being genuine. It's being sincere. It's being believable. It's being selfless. Because happiness isn't completed. It's a journey. And kindness isn't completed. Again, it's a journey. You don't say one day, I'm going to be real kind this day, and it's ended. There's a kindness for the year. It's an ongoing process. And we do have to work at it. Some people, as we were saying earlier, are not kind, and we don't know why, but it's for another show. But actually, it's because nobody was ever really kind to them. So if you've never experienced or you've never known security, it's very difficult to be secure. So if you've never known love, you've never known kindness, it's really hard for you to turn around and say, oh, I'm going to give everything away. And you often see people that have had nothing are kind of selfish. But it's really not selfishness. It's because they're afraid. If I give something away, I'm going to lose my security. Right. So as I said, that's another show. But I think we just have to learn to savor the moments. We'll have less stress in our life. We'll have more stability, just being happy and trying to do things for other people. It's so true. It does make you feel
and
so
maybe
much
not
better.
Trying to change the whole world, because I know that when I've tried sometimes to do something for somebody else, but I've tried maybe too hard, or maybe given expectations that I couldn't even meet, or if we try to please everybody, that's not really the way either. And then sometimes we end up disappointing, and then it ends up backfiring. And then they say, yep, you just proved my whole fear and self-fulfilling prophecy. That's happened to me quite a bit as well. And then it just creates suffering.
Right. And when you said before, people may not relate, like to a president having all this adulation and all these wonderful things, him being a good person, because how does a little person relate to that? Well, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who worked with the poorest of poor in Calcutta, people who had bed sores, people who had starvation, who had huge bellies because they had never had enough food or hydration, no clothes, that had leprosy, that had every disease imaginable to mankind, said, I can't solve the big problem. I can't change all this situation that's deplorable, but I can do small acts of kindness. I may never get to do the big one, but I can do small acts.
We all need to come together with that, because it's not one person's job, and it's not something that can possibly change overnight. So on that note, let's go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Miss any shows during the week? Don't worry, we've got you covered. Yahoo! With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand. Yes! Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
We're back, and just to conclude today, which is a very good episode and topic about random acts of kindness, which of course tangentially leads us to a whole other topic, which is never ending, really. Just like the never ending process of becoming better, becoming more bright, and sort of absorbing the darkness and transmuting into the light. But I've got a really good book called The Lord is My Shepherd. It's an inspiration from the book of Psalms by Lance Wobbles. And this passage says, with so much uncertainty in the world today, young people face more questions about their future than ever. Parents and educators place a tremendous emphasis on what a young person might do with their life and how they can achieve their goals. Most young people are never challenged to explore the underlying principles and values upon which their lives should be based. They have questions. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Despite society's indifference to morality, purity of the heart is the best thing. Purity of motives, of intentions, of will, of transparency, of truthfulness. And to first be a person of integrity, a good person, is the wisest of life's priorities. The psalmist tells us we must try to measure every day's actions by living according to your word, which is the standard of the word of God. Take your life and put it alongside the truth and principles of God. Cultivate the habit of bringing all that you do and all that you are side by side with this light. Not only does his word expose those areas of our lives where we miss his mark, but it shows us a way to make it right and be transformed by his power. Asking ourselves the simple question, what does the Bible say may actually keep us from ruining our lives. So I think that kind of nicely sums up a lot of what we were discussing about integrity, authenticity, being genuine and not disingenuous, not just saying something to placate somebody, but saying something to actually make an impact, either slightly, profoundly, or all of the above on their day, on their life, on their overall experience as a human. So, and that will nicely segue into your metaphor about being the light and lighting the candles.
Well, I'm going to end with that, but I hope I have time to quote a young lady who lived a horrendous experience in her life of 14 years, who was Anne Frank, and I think most of us know her. She hid in an attic of a business during the Nazi regime. She lived with her parents in a very small flat, had to be quiet and remain quiet. And the atrocities of the war that she witnessed, people being shot in the streets dead just because they wore the Star of David on them. And she said in some of her diary notes that in spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart. So with all the ugliness and darkness and the lack of light and the hatred and the tumultuous times she lived in, she still believed in kindness and that people were inherently good people.
Yep. There, and that was the way she chose to focus, which is awesome.
And that's the way she chose to focus. And she was able to translate and transmit that into her sister, who was starting to doubt because her sister had a boyfriend and her sister was never going to end. You know, her sister was being more negative, but and some of the people that she lived with were hoarding food. And she just couldn't understand that because she would never have ever thought of being selfish or doing something that would create problems with others, although he accused her of being a little brat. But that's a 14-year-old living with a 70-year-old man. But I'm going to end with, when I was a young child, and on Sunday morning, there was a program on television, and I always thought it was so beautiful because it started with a very black screen, and then it showed an enormous amount of candles, and each candle began to blow out. And the candles were representative of us. And yet, in the end, it went to a dark screen, but there was one candle that remained. And what they said was, if everyone lit just one little candle, what a bright world this would be. So I think in random acts of kindness, we can be that one candle. We're symbolic of that one candle. Of, yes, it's a world in disarray. There's so many things going on. There's tumultuous anger and violence and shootings and guns and police. And who do we believe? Politics. But we have to believe in our own being, that we're able as one person, because as we know, it's that first step, and one person can be a catalyst to changing the world if it's only their world. We have no control over what's happening, but we do have control over ourselves and our own environment.
And reactions.
Right. And if we're surrounded by polluted people and people that are negative and people that won't reach out and people that refuse to see the positive side of life, then we have to avoid them. We can try and go back to, just like with the horse, take them back to the well, drink something, but we can't force them. Until it dawns upon them, I am a light, and a light goes off. So that candle and that light is very symbolic of many things. I have a lot to offer to other people, and that's not being narcissistic. It's not being conceited. It's not being egocentric. I know inherently I'm a good person, and I want to share my goodness, my love of life, my love of people, my love of kindness and kind acts. My love of God with others. I want them to see that divinity lies within all. And we all are a candle. We all can illuminate other people's lives. And as I said,
how powerful is it too when you are faced with somebody that you know, maybe doesn't treat you kindly or treats you in an abusive way, to turn the other cheek, as Jesus said. I mean, you don't have to inflict the same pain onto them, and that's what makes the whole world blind, an eye for an eye. So it's turning the other
cheek.
And
this is for, right. And I think this is not meant for one denomination. Being Christian, being kind, it's meant for all. It's meant for Hinduism. It's meant for Catholicism. It's meant for evangelism. It's meant for, you know, so that's what makes the world go round. And if everybody took that minute to say, what can I do to make this a better place? What can I do because I know I'm a Christian? Even if I'm an atheist, what can I do to make my surroundings happier? You know, what can I do to make it a better place where I am and to share my feelings of positivity with others? You know, we have opportunities all the time. We are with children. You were saying you were with a young girl last night. She is going to pick up on your positivity. She's going to pick up on everything that you say because she's what, 10 or 12, and you're an adult. You're a mentor, and you're paying attention to her. What a compliment that is to her. And you're saying what a great performance, how well you did. She expects that from her mother, but she doesn't expect it from you. Do you see what I'm saying? So again, you are sharing another act of kindness and a random one because she...
Oh, yeah, and her mom said it was nice because I came unexpectedly. And so it was kind of random in that sense. It wasn't like... She expected
exactly.
me to be there. So.
Right. And those compliments, I think, mean the most. And I think if we all go back to what I said, I believe, earlier when we were talking about the random acts of kindness, is that we are all imbued with a spirit. If you want to call it the spirit of God, if you want to call it the spirit of earth, if you want to call it the spirit of nature, we know somewhere along the line that there's a greater spirit, if you will, out there. There's a greater force out there. There is something beyond who we are. And as good as we try to be, and as good as we try to lead our life, there's something even better. So if we can just project what we feel as being positive and being kind and being empathetic and compassionate to the needs of others, we can make a difference. Maybe it won't be 100,000 people, but maybe it'll be just one other person. Maybe it'll just be that little lady that I met at the hotel.
Well, on that note, we got to let you go for this week. But thank you for coming on the channel, and make it a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to People Like Us Radio with Megan Lyons, transcending the trauma of the human experience. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, where Megan enlightens other narcissistic abuse survivors to find true healing and inner peace through the beautiful art and practice of self-love. Megan knows it because she's lived it. The work on this show is powerful, life-changing, and provides a compelling purpose for survivors to be the light in the world. For more information about Megan Lyons, or to listen to past episodes of this show, visit EnterTheLightLLC.com.